You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicious, the kid on the way. And folks, you can get the freshest Cleveland Browns gear by visiting the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Also, don't miss the new Dog Pound t-shirts with a limited run only at the team shop at First Energy Stadium. Last night, Mike Pettine had his weekly radio show, The Mike Pettine Show. It's hosted by myself and Ken Carmen. I think you should check it out if you haven't. It's every Thursday night from 7 to 8. And he joined us on the program last night to talk about this team, this game, and getting ready to face the Indianapolis Colts. We asked him a few questions, and we're going to hear his answer on how he came to the decision to start Brian Hoyer on Sunday.
We weighed all the circumstances involved and kept it purely a football decision. I leaned heavily on Kyle Shanahan, and we just felt we had a quarterback that had got us in the thick of the playoff hunt. Certainly hasn't been perfect, but at the same time that there's a lot of chemistry there with the rest of the offense. There's cohesion is another word that I use a lot. I just think it would have been very difficult for us, given where we are today, to go ahead and make such a radical change and go with a rookie quarterback. Johnny made it difficult by coming in and doing what he did against Buffalo. I think he showed, certainly flashed what he's capable of. But in looking at what was best for the Browns short term, given that we're in the hunt, we felt it was best to go back to Brian.
I want to get Joe. Matt and I have broken this down a lot. We've gotten to hear all his comments. I don't know if that's the first time you've heard his words on this. What do you think of the way that he describes how he came to that decision?
I don't have a problem with it. Again, is it my decision? It's not my decision to be made. I think that Johnny Manziel gives us, especially going into a game like this, I think he gives us a few more things, or at least would give Indianapolis a few more things to think about. But winning does trump all in this league. So I think when you look at our record, you look where we're at, I don't have a problem with it, because I said last Monday or this past Monday that, you know, regardless of who the quarterback is, my job is to put my helmet and pads on and go play. We don't control those things. But again, when you look at Johnny and look at some of the things that he's been able to do throughout his career, you know, in a series and a half, you know, the second series wasn't very good, but that first series was something to at least lead you to believe that this guy has been paying attention in those meetings and he's treating his job as a professional. So, Coach Patton, I have no problem with what he said, because, again, winning is what this whole thing is about. But unfortunately, I think for Brian, it's a really, really short leash right now.
It's got to be a short leash. And it's interesting, I think, Matt Bowen, I don't know if either – did either of you play – I'm sure you played against him, Matt, when he was with the Redskins.
Right.
He wrote an interesting article, Bleacher Report, today, saying that when he hears a coach cite, you know, a team's record as a reason for playing a quarterback or cohesion, he kind of tunes out, because he said you just need to watch the tape. He was of the opinion, obviously, that you would play Johnny Manziel at this point. There's also a very good article that I would recommend people check out on Grantland right now by Andrew Sharp in their Triangle blog area, saying starting Brian Hoyer is smart, which is crazy. And he said all the things that we've kind of said. Well, it looks like Brian Hoyer's not playing well. Johnny Manziel's more talented, et cetera, et cetera. But lays out a very good case for why the team stuck with Brian Hoyer. And I just always think it's interesting when you hear a coach go through a tough decision like this. And I actually asked him if this was the toughest decision of his coaching career. And he said, no, the decision to start, the initial quarterback decision, was actually a tougher one than this one, which I thought was very interesting.
If I could say this about Brian. Brian is the type of guy that, listen, he faced some criticism early on. It wasn't easy for him after they made the pick of grabbing Johnny Manziel in the first round. So this could be the type of game, though, where Brian, who's been through adversity, he's had his back up against the wall, kind of proved everybody that was a Johnny Manziel fan wrong. This could be the game, because we've always talked that any given Sunday, anything can happen. This potentially could be that type of game where Brian, again, you know, puts everything on his shoulders and he goes out there to surprise people. I think in the long run, though, Brian is probably the quarterback that's just kind of plateaued. We know what we're going to get from Brian, but this could be a game where maybe he does surprise, because he got the yank in the last game, kind of had a chance to sit back, think about it, let everything go. But I don't necessarily disagree that Brian could be a quarterback that could shock us this Sunday and come out on fire.
Yeah, it's a team to do it against. I mean, this is the secondary to do it against.
Absolutely. I mean, again, this is a defense that gives up a ton of yards. They give up a ton of points. And so if we can capitalize on different situations, momentum, if we play with confidence, because we know that any time that Brian Hoyer's confidence has wavered, he comes out and lays an egg. If he can prove us all wrong, all the Manziel favorites out there, and prove us all wrong and go out and play his best football game, there are yards and points out there against this team. And I believe that we match up extremely well defensively against his football team.
Colts are giving up 60% completion, 7.6 yards per attempt, 21 passing touchdowns, only 9 interceptions on the season, and an opposing quarterback rating of 91.1. And they will be without their best cover corner, Vontae Davis, who is not going to play in this game due to a concussion. So the Browns have that going for them as well. Now, when you go with Brian Hoyer, it means you're not going with Johnny Manziel. So what did Johnny show you on Sunday, Coach?
I think he flashed what he is capable of. He did have a couple things that he needs to get cleaned up, had the mistake with the fumble, but showed on the touchdown run that drive, I think, gave us all a bit of a preview of what he's all about, that he could put a ball in some tight windows, and if need be, he can tuck it down and make plays with his feet.
And I think that, Nathan, when you talked to Coach last night, he talked about the decision earlier in the season being the harder of the two. And I think that goes back to my comments about the known versus the unknown. I think they knew very little back then, so it was an easier decision to go with Brian Hoyer. And at this point, the 7 wins, I think, made it ultimately the decision for Coach Pettine. But also, too, as we hear from Coach Pettine here, we asked him, you know, what do you have to see from Brian Hoyer to make sure that he gets back on track this Sunday against the Colts?
He'll know his job inside out, but the key thing for him is to execute it, not try to do too much. You look at some of the plays and feel maybe he forced the ball to some spots where it shouldn't have gone. But then I think always a part of it is what I've preached all along, is when a team's successful, quarterback too much credit; team not successful, quarterback too much blame. And I think that if we're playing well around them, it will certainly to make his job a lot easier.
What do you guys think about that wide receiver, linebacker, when you're saying, well, this guy's got to start, he's 7-5 as a starter? Well, it takes a full team effort, a 3 phases of the game, to win a game or lose a game. So I think Coach is right. Quarterbacks get too much blame and too much credit. But when you hear records thrown out like it's a starting picture in the national, you know, in the Major League Baseball, how does that kind of play with other positions?
For me, it's a hard sell for me.
You would never say I'm 7-5 as a starter or as a linebacker, or I'm 7-5 as a starter or as a
No, I wouldn't. It's a hard sell for me, and ultimately I think that I would have felt stronger with him coming out on the type of leader that he is and giving us the best situation to win football games moving forward and not using the record that he has as a crutch, because, as Joe said, if you look at the teams that we've beat, these are teams that we should beat if we are actually moving up in the NFL world. And again, the challenge moving forward is to make that decision now, but then also to the challenge that looms ahead in next football season when we get some quality division opponents as opposed to the 2 worst divisions in football
and
right now.
With the winning record, that usually comes. But, you know, the other thing, too, why I wouldn't put so much stock in the record myself, and I agree with Matt, I wouldn't put it in there for one reason. Everything that we've talked about before, you know, prior shows, eye in the sky doesn't lie, all the film work that goes on. Yes, we're 7-5, but then there's the flip side of it where how many of those games were just, you know, they were just barn burners. And, I mean, we were throwing and running all over the place. I mean, we really weren't. So, again, the product that was put on the field prior to this decision, to me, would at least lead me to believe that, you know, the record's one thing, but we need to score points. We need to do certain things, and right now we just weren't doing it. But again, I will back Coach Pettine's decision because it's his decision to make. Brian, I do think that guy's persevered through a lot, especially, you know, being the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and it always seems to come with being the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. There's a lot of controversy, a lot of things going on the outside. He stood up to Johnny Manziel. He's got this team at 7-5, and I look at it like, you know, Brian could be that quarterback to go out there and kind of give us that Sunday miracle.
Listen, all he's got to do is be great one day for 60 minutes.
Right.
Really, over the course of 3 hours.
Is that too much to ask for?
That's what he's got to do. That's what he's going to have to do against this Colts team. It's set up for it. Now, we all know Brian Hoyer is at his best when there is a strong ground game. Isaiah Crowell listed as questionable. Terrence West had that big fumble and was called out by his head coach last week. Glenn Winston's here. Sean Drawn has been added. What is the running back situation headed into Sunday?
Well, the good thing is we feel we have 4 pretty solid guys with the addition of Sean Drawn that we added earlier this week, and he's been very impressive. Fortunately, He was in the Redskins camp with Kyle previously, so he has a pretty good feel for the system. It didn't take him much to kind of pick up the subtle changes in the system that have occurred. So he's been impressive. So we're going to have a decision to make at the end of the week as far as which of those guys are going to be up. So we're hopeful to get Crow back. I think Terrence is ready to get the bad taste out of his mouth, and he understands the tough love that he received this week. Winston's a guy that's put in some good work for us, and like I said, we're very pleased with where Drawn is. So we're going to have to make a decision. We'll likely only be able to get three of those four up. Again, it could come down to special teams as being the determining factor.
Very, very interesting take on the running back situation, but I believe the task that I've been most interested in all week with the threat that is Andrew Luck, and it's Coach Pettine's comments on how he believes you slow down Andrew Luck.
You got to throw a lot at him. If you sit in one look, you're going to be in trouble. I think you have to be you have to pick and choose your times to be aggressive. I don't think you can be blitz happy, and I also don't think that you can sit back and play coverage. He has a uncanny ability to extend plays. He's so good on his feet. It's a Roethlisberger type quality where he can kind of shake guys off or take some hits while he's throwing, and still finds open guys. So it's on us that we hopefully can confuse him pre-snap. We can play good coverage down the field and certainly have the rush affect him.
The rush is going to have to be there. We've talked about that all game long. Rush, get there, contain, get him on the ground. That'll be the key against Andrew Luck. And the coach knows it. This is going to be an interesting one. Styles make the fights. I do think, and I said this last week, I did feel better about this game than I did the Buffalo game, because we've had our biggest problems with tough, physical defensive fronts. You look at Jacksonville, you look at Houston, you look at this last week against Buffalo. Those are the three losses. Those are the ugly losses. And this Indianapolis Colts defense is not like that by any stretch of the imagination up front with Corey Redding, Josh Chapman, and Arthur Jones.
No, they're not. And I think, again, two of those three defenses that we had trouble against were 4-3 defenses. This week we're going to see a 3-4. It's going to be similar to that Texans defense, but again, by far and away not similar in their personnel with J.J. Watt and that destructive defensive physical front that they had.
You know, Indianapolis, ever since I can remember, has always had guys that were just really good at doing their job. Maybe not the biggest guys in the world, but they would fly around, they would gang tackle, and, you know, they killed you with speed on defense. So, again, when you look at the things that present the Browns are going to be presented with this weekend, Nathan, I agree with you. I think this is a game I'd actually feel better about because, listen, we've kind of had it handed to us last weekend. Now it's carefree. Listen, the only thing that we can do is go out there and try to play a perfect game. And if we can go out there and play a perfect game, no pressures, just go out there, try not to make mistakes. You can't make as many mistakes as the Colts. You've got to make way less than them. You've got to go in there with the mindset that this can be done.
So it definitely can be done. They pass the ball. They don't run it. We stop the pass very effectively, don't stop the run as well. So we match up with them and what they want to do offensively. And we should be able to run the football on this team and throw the football on it. So we match up well with them with what we want to do offensively. I think this is an opportunity for the Browns to surprise a lot of people. But you talked about it. Take care of the football. Execute mistake-free. That's how you're going to beat Andrew Luck. Cannot give him extra possessions and limit your own. Final opportunity to call your shot here, 216-578-0850. Don't forget, you have an opportunity to win an Ataba Rubin signed Browns mini helmet when you tell us how many yards Brian Hoyer will pass for. Right now, Doug and Ashland will win if there is a quick hook. He's got 88. We've seen numbers as high as 390 from Dave and Zor. Red, we've got Alan Mansfield, 321, and a lot in between. Call us up, 216-578-0850. Still to come to Cook.